5:46 p.m. Do you know where your video nasties is? So I felt like doing some recording. So that's what I'm doing now. It's still Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. It's Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. And I'm going to take a hit. And then I'm just gonna chat a little bit. So join me if you'd like. Yeah, that's right. Smoke if you got 'em. Chin chin. Brownie Scout is tasting a little fruity. It might be a combination of the Spindrift orange mango that I'm drinking and the Brownie Scout. So I'm sitting in my car waiting for it to warm up. I don't really have anything specific to talk about right now. It's been a nice day. I got some sun. I got some writing done. I even printed out some pages. And I did some reading. I read a chapter from Stick by Elmore Leonard. I got 100 pages or less left. I'm at about page 300 now. Is it 300? Yeah, I'm at 300 now, or almost at 300. And I just had some dinner and then I took a shower and I shaved and I brushed my teeth and I'm fresh as a daisy and I was in a talking mood, so I just felt like hopping on here. This will be a brief segment. This will be the beginning of the next episode, the episode for tomorrow after tonight's episode, which is for the sadistic Baron von Hauser, whatever it's called, the Jess Franco movie. Tonight I'm not sure what I'll be watching. I was going to eat some cereal and watch some West Side Story on HBO Max, but it looks like my mom has commandeered the TV room, as I call it, and she calls it my sister's room. I call it the TV room. So I was going to eat some cereal in there and watch it in there because I'm not allowed to eat in my room anymore after my mom found too many dirty dishes in there. It's a whole, you know, it's a long story and you're probably not interested. Why would you be? I'm barely interested myself. And I'm the one involved in it. So, fuck it. I'm going to turn off my car. So yeah, I don't know what I'm going to watch. It's either going to be West Side Story, it's going to be another Jess Franco movie, or it's going to be something else. I watched those early Jess Franco movies out of order, unfortunately. What I might do is jump to that one that I said I wanted to watch, which I'm blanking on the title now, Orgy of the Zombies or something. And I might watch that one, and I will hopefully enjoy it if I do. Hopefully we'll have that jungle setting. And speaking of a jungle setting, I've been wanting to watch Cannibal Holocaust, so I might watch that at some point. That probably won't be my main feature for tonight, but since I've already seen it. But I will watch that at some point. I'm going to get to that. And it might be something else entirely. It might be something brand new. I'll let you know here on Video Nasties. Peace. Hello and welcome to another amazing episode of Video Nasties. It's West Side Story time, and I'm your host, the Bear Jew. Thank you for listening. That's right, last night I started watching West Side Story, and it's great. It's an amazing movie. I got about 25 minutes in, so I saw the first song, When You're a Jet, classic. I know all the songs because I used to watch the original with my mom and my sister. It was like one of my sister's favorite movies, and she would watch it all the time. My sister loves musicals. I don't, but I do like some musicals, and West Side Story is one of the musicals that I like best. It's one of my favorite musicals. So I couldn't help but think while watching it, you know, why remake this movie? This doesn't need to be remade. This doesn't need to be remade by Spielberg. Like, the original did it, it said it all. Why remake it? Well, if you go back and watch the original, there is some brown face. It's like white guys playing the Puerto Ricans. It's definitely, there's definitely some weird racial stuff in there. And so the racial politics, I think Spielberg wanted to deal with them in more of a 2021 context. And so I think that was the reason to remake it. And in that way, it is better than the original. I mean, it's white guys playing white guys, Puerto Ricans playing Puerto Ricans. Not that I give too much of a shit about that. I don't like to get too much into that, into race politics. But I do think that was an improvement. And I think it's an interesting take on it. It's a reimagining. I think the music is just so amazing and so great. And it's such a great musical. I mean, it's been staged so many times on stage. You know, why not restage it on film? So I guess it does make sense that it be remade. And Spielberg was the right person to do it. And it is a virtuoso piece of direction. I think it's one of the best movies of the last 20 years of Spielberg's career. I think I would go that. I would go that far. I would say it's his best movie since, I don't really even know. I mean, maybe since Saving Private Ryan, but I don't know if I would go that far. I'm trying to even think, what are some great Spielberg movies that have come out since then? I feel like after Saving Private Ryan, just basically in the 21st century, his career did kind of take a dip. And I think this is the best Spielberg movie of the 21st century. The last one, I believe, was Ready Player One, which was okay. This is a whole other level, though. And I never saw War Horse. I saw Lincoln, which I liked. I was slightly disappointed by it, but I did like it. Lincoln is probably my other favorite Spielberg of the 21st century. I like War of the Worlds, too. That would be up there. And Munich was okay. I don't really remember it. And then I can't think of any other Spielberg movies from the 21st century. I mean, the BFG I started watching. Didn't really like it that much. Wasn't a fan. Yeah, that's all I can think of. I mean, there was like Catch Me If You Can, like very early on. There were like the Tom Hanks movies, Catch Me If You Can and The Terminal. I never saw The Terminal. I didn't like Catch Me If You Can. Yeah. So I don't think he's made a movie. Oh, and then, of course, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which I did like. That's actually one of my favorite Spielberg movies of the 21st century. But I just don't think he ever returned to that 90s level of Spielberg filmmaking. He was still in his genius period in the 90s, and he was still making masterpieces. So, Spielberg made at least three, like, legitimately great movies, at least three masterpieces in the 90s. So, Schindler's List, which, and I'm admitting this on the podcast, I think for the first time, I have never seen Schindler's List. Jurassic Park, which I've seen, besides Raiders, I've seen it more than any other Spielberg movie. And it is my favorite Spielberg movie, besides Raiders. And then Saving Private Ryan, which is just one of the great war movies of all time. In fact, for me, and probably for a lot of like boys from my generation, that's like, I mean, I can only speak for myself. For me personally, when I think of a war movie, that is the movie I think of. That's literally the prototypical war movie for me. And then in terms of serial killer movies, I think of Seven. So like Seven is to serial killer movies as Saving Private Ryan is to war movies for me. Like, it's just the first thing I think of. That's like the base, the standard. Like, what is like a basic serial killer movie that has like all the beats? Yeah, it's Seven. What's a basic war movie that has all the beats? I don't think Saving Private Ryan is a basic war movie that has all the beats. It's actually an unusual war movie. But it was one of the first war movies that I saw. I mean, I was 8 when it came out. And it's just what I think of when I think of a war movie. It's not my favorite war movie of all time. Inglourious Basterds is my favorite war movie of all time, if that even counts as a war movie. But it's just what I think of. And Saving Private Ryan is, I think, a much better movie than Seven, but that's beside the point. Okay, so what was I saying? Yeah, so that's Steven Spielberg in the 21st century. Yeah, I don't know what happened after Saving Private Ryan. I don't know what happened to him in the 21st century. He has not made a movie as good as Saving Private Ryan since Saving Private Ryan. I think the closest he's come is probably West Side Story, honestly. Bridge of Spies is the other one that I didn't mention. I did like Bridge of Spies, and I saw both Bridge of Spies and Ready Player One in a theater, and I wanted to see West Side Story in a theater. I almost did. It's still playing in some theaters, as far as I know, but it's, we're living in the age where, yes, it's playing in a theater, but you can also just watch it on HBO Max. It's playing concurrently on HBO Max. Somebody has an account. At this point, I don't even know who it is, but I have my own little profile, and I'm logged in, and it's West Side Story right there, and it's like I can't help it. I just press play, It's like I want to slap down cash for the movie, but I'm slightly strapped for cash right now. I mean, I'm fine, but it's like, yeah, I need to be making more money. And yeah, so this is a way to save money, but it's also, I am still supporting the movie because I'm pressing play, and that's, that click, that play is going into a little database and, whatever, whatever. I mean, the movie underperformed at the box office. It should have done better. Obviously, Spielberg isn't hurting for money in any way, but I always want a Spielberg movie to do well. I always want the new Spielberg movie to do well, and I think Ready Player One actually did pretty well, even though this is a far superior movie. I think Ready Player One did better than West Side Story, but that was also a different time. We're living in the post-COVID world, the post-2019 world. If you believe in the 100-year theory, movies are dead. So, I don't know. That's just what came to mind for me. I don't believe in that theory. I don't believe movies are dead. If they are dead, they've been dead for 20, probably 30 years at least. So that's irrelevant to me. I always wanted to make them whether they were dead or not. If they're dead, I'm the embalming fluid, like Lil Wayne said about hip hop. All right. Thank you for listening. I think I'm gonna hop off for now, and then I'll hop back on later in the afternoon. It's early here. It's 9:39 a.m., which for me is early. Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. I'm into March. The sun is trying to poke out from behind the clouds. I'm listening to some podcasts. I read some of my book this morning, watched some Eli Roth interviews. I'm gonna get some writing done today too. And what I might do is I might listen to some music, but I don't know. I don't really have anything queued up that I want to listen to. What was the thing? Oh yeah, there were a couple albums that came out like last week or 2 weeks ago that Pitchfork was highlighting. A few of them looked good. I wanted to check them out. One of them was Squeeze by Sasami. So I was gonna put that on, but then I was like, you know what? I don't want to put this on in the morning. I'm not up for this right now. The first song is called Skinner Rat, which gave me an indication of what I was in for, and I just decided I wasn't up for it this early in the morning. Like I said, this is early for me. Peace. Okay, I forgot to mention the other movie that I watched last night, which was Virgin Among the Living, I think it's called. It's on Arrow streaming. It's a Jess Franco movie. It's the one that I mentioned. It has kind of a tropical setting, or at least I thought it did. Pretty sure it does. And it kind of Virgin Among the Living Dead, it's called. And it kind of was reminding me of Cannibal Holocaust a little bit, which I still haven't rewatched. It's hard to find the right time to watch that movie. It's just, it's got, the mood's got to be right, the time's got to be right, and it just never is for me. But, yeah, this movie was cool. I preferred it to the other Jess Franco movie. I'm having trouble even remembering the movie now. I got pretty stoned before I watched it, and I'm not remembering much from it, and I don't want to pull up the description because then it's going to cut off the recording, and that's a pet peeve for me. So that's all that I will say about it for now. Peace. Okay, I did it. I pulled up the movie, I paused it, and here is the description of A Virgin Among the Living Dead from the Arrow streaming app. 1 hour, 29 minutes, horror drama, 1973 France, directed by Jess Franco. Quote, following the death of her father, a young girl visits her estranged family at their sinister castle in the countryside, and comes to realize her eccentric and morbid relatives are not quite alive. I don't really remember that. A sinister castle in the countryside. Why did I think it was like a tropical setting? Well, I saw palm trees. Maybe it was shot in the south of France. I don't know. Cast, Christina von Blanc as Christina, Carmen Isalde as Carmense, and Anne Liber as the Queen of the Nile, maybe? The Queen of the N? It's cut off. Crew, Jess Franco, director, Jess Franco, writer, Paul Dales, writer, Marius Lasore, producer, and Carl Heinz Manch something, producer. Thank you for listening. My name is Maxwell Haddad, and this has been Video Nasties. Peace. Something else I wanted to say about West Side Story, and specifically about Ansel Elgort. I don't think he's a great actor. I think he's a good actor, actually. And I think he has presence. I think he's a bankable star, but he's also making good choices in terms of the movies he's in. He's worked with Edgar Wright and Steven Spielberg now, two of the best directors in the world. And both of the movies that he's been in with them have been good, really good, like really strong, like possibly even bests of their career. I would say Baby Driver is one of Edgar Wright's best movies. I think it was kind of like his comeback, actually. I think he took a dip with The World's End. I think part of that was a result of the failure of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which was also kind of a dip after Hot Fuzz, but is also, in some ways, one of his best movies. And ironically now, it's like Scott Pilgrim is like his most well-known for some people of a certain age group, people in America, people in Canada. Obviously, in England, well, not obviously, but in England, I think Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz are the movies that he'll always be the most known for. Actually, Hot Fuzz even more so. From what I've heard, Hot Fuzz literally plays on television in the UK every single day. It plays on, I can't think of the fucking name now. ITV. That's what it is. ITV. Apparently it plays on ITV every day. Hot Fuzz. So anyway. I can't remember what I was saying now. Oh, Ansel Elgort. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, the kid, you know, he's a little flat, but he can dance, he can sing, and he can act. So he's got the triple threat thing happening, going on. So yeah, I don't think he's a great actor. I don't think he was great as Baby. I don't think he's great in this as Tony. Is he Tony? I forget who he is. He's the main guy, anyway. The one who falls in love with Maria, who we haven't seen yet. And I was also kind of thinking, I'm hoping it's that hot girl from In the Heights. Sorry, now I'm jumping around here a little bit, but I don't believe it's her. Let me just see if I can find her name. Oh, this is her. Melissa Barrera. She's so hot. Okay. Born in Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico. Okay, so I just want to read to you a little more of the description of Jess Franco from the Aero streaming app. The collection that they have on there now, which was just introduced on there on the first of the month, is called Nightmares Come at Night. So this is, let's see, where am I? This is from the description at the head of the collection. Quote, most often working with little to no money, Franco is famous for recycling actors and footage in his productions due to, or no, in his productions, to the extent where cast members would be surprised to see themselves and their name crop up in another one or two films atop the one they were actually hired for. And his fans would recognize footage in his latest feature from one of his previous ones. This was not done out of laziness or for financial gain, though. Franco had a true love for movies and stories and said that he was no, quote, false intellectual, but rather just wanted people to see his films and enjoy them, not that he enjoyed them himself. Franco is quoted as saying, quote, I don't think I've done anything important or magnificent. I'm a worker, and the thing I prefer in my life is cinema. When I'm working in cinema, I'm happy, and that's all, you know? Okay, so there's more that has to be added to this episode, so I'm going to just keep reading. Quote, 11 out of 180 isn't bad, and our Jess Franco collection aims to give an all-encompassing view of his output, touching on many of his favorite subjects, lesbianism, vampires, zombies, and sadomasochism, and the works of the Marquis de Sade in films like Vampiros, Lesbos, or as my sister referred to it, as Vampire Lesbos, Female Vampire, Oasis of the Living Dead, the sadistic Baron von Klaus, listen to yesterday's episode for that one, and Eugenie de Sade. We have even included Zombie Lake. I like that title. Which Franco was going to write and direct until he dropped out following an argument with the film's producers over the paltry budget and the film. Over the paltry budget, and the film was probably turned over to our old friend Jean Rollin. Callback. Check out our fantastic collections of his work if you haven't already. The Rollin Franco connection doesn't stop there, as Jean was also later hired to film new footage that was added to a re-release of A Virgin Among the Living Dead. Hello. That's a Video Nasties collection if I've ever seen one. So kick back and prepare to binge a collection of films that push the boundaries of taste and decency in all the best and most fun ways, and will leave you easily able to spot any of his 169 other films a mile away. Yeah, I mean, Jess Franco movies do definitely have a distinct look, feel, and flavor to them, as is the case with any true auteur, which is one of the themes of this podcast, I hope. Thank you for listening. Peace. The opening shot of West Side Story, the Spielberg version, is amazing. I still prefer the original opening in some ways. I always remember those shots of the city and then coming down into into the city and meeting the boys, you know, the Jets. And or is it the Sharks first in the original? No, it is the Jets also. But in this one, what I liked about it is that it was all one shot and it was virtuoso filmmaking. The whole movie is really an example of virtuoso filmmaking and directing, and I think seeing Spielberg doing that and working at that level at his age, and just, you know, the fact that it's Spielberg, it just makes the whole thing extra exciting. So check it out if you have HBO Max, or go and see it. Even better yet, go and see it in a theater. It should still be playing. Peace. It's 10:25 a.m. I'm still thinking about West Side Story, and I just wanted to add something about it, which is I believe that this is Steven Spielberg's first musical. I think. And what better musical to do than West Side Story? I mean, it is an institution. It's a classic Western. It's sort of like one of the standard. Did I say Western? Oh my God. It's a classic musical, one of the standard musicals. And in some ways, it's the greatest musical ever made. So it just felt like something that was ripe for Spielberg to take on. Kind of similar to the way Joel Cohen took on the tragedy of Macbeth. You know, there are other Macbeth movies. There are millions of versions of Macbeth, but it's like for him to put his spin on it and do something original with it and make it for a modern audience. Now, I haven't actually seen that movie. I've just seen the trailers and I've heard about it, but I assume that it's kind of a similar thing. So it's like in this age of remakes and IP, why not take something that was actually really good at first and really interesting? You know, West Side Story is a really interesting musical. Macbeth is a really interesting drama or play or piece of theater. So why not take something that still has value and still speaks to today and let a great artist put their spin on it, which is what these are. I always go back to this idea that if you're going to remake something that wasn't great to begin with and make something better. So like in the case of Neil Blomkamp remaking RoboCop, which I don't know if that'll ever happen or if it is happening. I don't really give a shit about Neil Blomkamp, even though there is a Neil Blomkamp episode of Video Nasties from the early days. So go back and listen to that if you're so inclined. And yeah, in the case of RoboCop, I mean, the original is so fucking great. Why even remake it? Although I am still a little bit curious to see what Neil Blomkamp's version would be. Now, in the case of The Running Man, which apparently Edgar Wright is remaking, apparently he's writing the screenplay with Michael Bacall, who he co-wrote Scott Pilgrim with, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And he is, yeah, adapting Stephen King's novel, which he wrote under the pseudonym Richard Bachman. So I'm very curious to see that. I think in that case, that kind of is what I'm talking about, where the original should have been better. I like the original. Okay, go back and listen to that episode as well. The Arnold Schwarzenegger one. I never finished it, but I like the exploding head at the beginning. I like the whole concept, and I do like some of the things that they did in the original, but it's not great. And that novel could make a great movie. And it could make a great movie in Edgar Wright's hands. I don't think it'll be a great movie. I do think Edgar Wright has slipped a little bit, and I was even slightly disappointed with Last Night in Soho, even though I loved it. I just thought it was slightly too repetitive, even though that was part of the point, and I just thought it was slightly overdone, overproduced, especially by the end. But I still loved it. And if you want to hear more of my thoughts on Last Night in Soho, go back and listen to the Last Night in Soho episode of this very podcast, Video Nasties. Thank you for listening to this episode. Peace. So I haven't done this in a while. I've been, excuse me, moving away from this sort of thing, but I just want to read to you the description of the album that I just listened to on Apple Music, which is Pompeii by Kate Laban. It's rock from 2022, and the album was okay. I wasn't like really into it. I actually kind of prefer her earlier stuff. I've only heard one other album by her, but yeah, I'll get to that in a second. I just wanted to read you the first part of this for some reason. I don't know. Quote, "When COVID-19 lockdowns prohibited Welsh Dadaist Kate Laban to fly back to the United States from Iceland, she found herself returning to her homeland to create a sixth studio album, Pompeii, a collection of avant-garde art pop far removed from the 2000s jangly guitar indie she once hung her hat on." See, that's the stuff that I like better. I prefer 2000s jangly guitar indie to avant-garde art pop. in Cardiff, recording in a house, quote, on a street full of seagulls, as she tells Apple Music. I instinctively knew where all the light switches were, and I knew all these sounds that the house makes when it breathes in the night. Created with co-producer Samur Khuja, the album obscures linear nostalgia to confront uncertainty and modern reality with stacked horns, saxophones, and synths.